Hello, this is your Midnight Marauder program. I'm on the front of your cover. I will be enhancing your cassettes and CDs with certain facts that you may find beneficial. The average bounce meter for your Midnight Marauder program will be in the area of 95 BPM. We hope that you will find our presentation precise, bass-heavy, and just right. Thanks.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning on the WGXC Morning Show, we will hear our sports report from the Camp Hill Media Group, plus the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alana Medlock of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, July 28th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. The Associated Press reports that New York State Police are breaking a 2019 state law requiring employers to let most workers follow attire or grooming obligations for their religion. State Trooper Sharon Jot Tijuana, based in Jamestown, requested permission to grow a beard 1/2 inch long in March of 2022 for his wedding, but was denied. The state police require troopers to shave and cut their hair short, and Tijuana was told he could not grow a beard because it posed a safety issue regarding the use of a gas mask. His union president, Charlie Murphy, said it amounted to, quote, persecution, unquote, and that Tijuana, who follows the Sikh religion, would also like to wear a turban but has not asked after not being allowed to grow a beard. Murphy said, quote, all New Yorkers, including law enforcement officers, must be free from employer oppression when practicing their religion, unquote. A state police spokesperson declined to comment on the matter. Read more about the story in the Associated Press. Rick Carlin reports in the Times Union that Central Hudson has agreed to pay for an independent monitor to verify and correct billing errors for customers. The State Public Service Commission announced on July 27th. Central Hudson also agreed to conduct monthly meter readings a year earlier than planned. Central Hudson will pay up to $750,000 for a third-party monitor to oversee billings through June 2024. Customers should see monthly meter readings by December 2024. The Public Service Commission and Central Hudson also said that the Public Service Commission will continue to investigate customer billing complaints. Central Hudson has heard many complaints since it began more estimated readings and fewer meter readings in September 2021. Customers complained that bills were late and much larger than usual. Public Service Commission Chair and Department of Public Service CEO Rory M. Christian said, quote, "Customers rightly expect to receive timely and accurate bills for their utility services. Unfortunately, our investigation and audit found that Central Hudson wasn't meeting this basic expectation. There is evidence, however, that the company has corrected many of the problems that led to the billing system errors, and our independent monitor will verify that these corrective actions are working and will be sustained," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that Town of Catskill officials believe a law degree is not necessary to be a judge. On July 19th, the Catskill Town Board passed a resolution opposing a bill that would require justices in New York's 100 highest volume local courts to be licensed attorneys for at least 5 years. Catskill Town Supervisor Dale Finch was not sure if his town fits that category, but said, quote, "In our estimation, the legislation is just a first step. Once implemented, there will be a desire by some to expand the legation to include all town courts in the state of New York," unquote. Senator Sean Ryan, who sponsored the bill, disagreed, saying, quote, "In towns and villages across the state, the people handing down jail sentences have often never spent a day studying law. This legislation is a significant criminal justice reform which will help ensure that New Yorkers receive their due process right to appear before a judge who is qualified as an attorney," unquote. New York is one of just 8 states currently allowing non-lawyer judges to hand down jail sentences for misdemeanors without the right to a new trial before a lawyer judge. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 28th. Local early morning temperatures range from 64 degrees in Medusa to 69 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 72 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Smoke levels will be very low at below 2 micrograms per cubic meter. Overall air quality today will be moderate. Heat advisories are out for the region. So are UV warnings. Today will be hot, sunny, and humid. A high of 92 happens at 3 p.m. No rain is expected. Overnight temperatures drop to 71 degrees, kissing the dew point, so it still won't be very comfortable. Rain chances show up Saturday morning and last all day. Dew points will be above 70 degrees, so humidity will be oppressive. A high of 84 happens at 1 p.m. and lingers for several hours. Overnight, temperatures dip to 62 degrees, and that knocks the dew point down into the 50s, making Sunday just beautiful. No rain, partly cloudy, high of 78. Monday, same deal, comfy and clear with a high of 78. Today's tide schedule is: low tide will be at 6:15 a.m., high tide will be at 11:11 a.m., low tide again at 6:04 p.m., and high tide, once again, at 11:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:06 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:41 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%, but could increase over the weekend as a large sunspot group swings into view. Plasma winds will be slow at 395 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 154, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking! We'll be back to pick you up later!
Throw away your bulky transmitters and broadcasting towers. The Superstar Celebrity Microphone lets you hear your voice through any AM radio.
Hey, good looking! We'll be back to pick you up later!
He's in for some loving.
Hello, WGXC listeners. You're listening to the Camp Hudson Sports Report. Very own Dan the Man Witkowski.
Oh my God, Dan. Well, it's Michael, but this my ringer is just terrible.
Well, thank you guys. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Rachel. And good morning, Kelly.
Yeah. Good morning.
How are you guys? How are you guys doing today?
Good.
We want. I feel scrumptious.
You feel okay? I won't comment on that.
Kelly, thanks again for that marvelous, miraculous introduction. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
The things that the thing
I,
that
I just said something.
Funny, Rachel. Funny.
I just said you okay. said how and I everyone's just... feeling. I said I feel scrumptious.
And I said that was funny.
Oh. Well, I didn't hear that, but
I've never heard the word scrumptious used in a sports report, but there's a first, everybody. Ring me the bell for that, Kelly.
Let me talk about the Women's
yes,
World Cup.
Yes, please, please.
The Women's World Cup.
Women's World Cup.
Today we are going to discuss the Women's World Cup. Now, I haven't really been paying that much attention to it because, you know, it's always been on Fox and I don't have the station. But I just wanted to let you know that the Women's USA National Team tied the Netherlands last night in the second half of the game.
So the score ended up being 1-1. Tell us who from the USA women's team scored that goal.
Megan.
Lisa
Horan.
Lindsay Horan.
Lindsay Horan, that's who it is. Lindsay
yeah.
Horan.
Lindsay Horan.
Lindsay Horan actually scored the goal to give the to have the USA tie in the second half.
That's right.
And there was a couple of chances that the USA team had, but the last goal that went in was officially an offside call.
They didn't get it.
Alex Morgan, which I think is complete bogus, if you ask me.
Yeah, they had to take it back.
Yeah. That was the worst.
You know, the most famous soccer player on that team, Megan Rapinoe, who's 38 years old, has joined them, and it's being played in Australia and New Zealand this year. She didn't play last night.
No, she didn't.
And quite a few of the bench players, because Megan's coming off the bench, quite a few of them didn't play last night, and some people feel that that affected the USA's ability to win.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You get, can you imagine running up and down for 90 minutes?
Oh, God, I'd probably pass out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll ring the bell for that. My goodness. Yeah, I think if I ran for 5 minutes, I'd be out of breath. It's kind of amazing what they can do as athletes. But
these ladies are in the gym 24 hours a day working their tail off. I mean, if you and I were trying to compete with the U.S. men's soccer team, we would probably pass out without how fast they run out.
I would definitely pass out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even show up because I knew I don't want the obvious to happen. We should just let people know that this is the first round of the Women's World Cup final. They play three games against three different opponents.
They beat Vietnam.
USA beat Vietnam
3-0
last week. A draw against the Netherlands last night.
And then they play Portugal coming up the next week.
That's right. Portugal and USA will play Tuesday, August 1st at 3 in the morning.
Damn, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's a long time.
Yes, Jesus Christ is a long time. it's going to be played
in
the...
I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, well, believe it. It happens.
Sorry.
Miss Spike Record T-shirt.
Sorry.
That means like 7 p.m. in 7
oh
p.m.
Oh, my Lord, in my heart.
Yeah. No comment.
No comment, please.
Okay.
But anyway, so I wanted to also bring you guys in that Lionel Messi in his debut with the FC Miami. He scored two goals, and he was assisted on one goal. Man, it's great to have Lionel Messi in the USA, isn't it?
I would say it's exciting. Scored a goal, at least one goal in that most recent game, and assisted in another. So that's good, I think, for the U.S. Soccer League, right? Someone of
Lionel
his
Messi
caliber.
Lionel Messi is actually the best soccer player in the world.
Yeah,
when his career is done, he's going to go into the Soccer Hall of Fame if they have one.
Well, he of course won the Men's World Cup just last year for Argentina, and that. I wonder if that's part of the reason why he decided to go into the United States Soccer League because he won the ultimate with the Argentine.
Probably. Maybe he felt that there's a lot more opportunities here in the U.S. that he could actually make more money in the U.S. That's probably why he said that. That's probably why he signed with FC. Now, I've actually seen on YouTube a couple of people, a couple of sports teams, like soccer teams, who youth soccer teams who are actually in Florida, who actually were, when Lionel Messi landed in the United States, they were so excited that they stopped playing soccer to go meet him at the airport.
That's awesome. Just maybe one more thing about the Women's World Cup. The USA team has been quite dominant. It's only been around since 1991, and the USA team has won 4 World Cups, and also the last 2. Dan, so they're trying to go for a three-peat.
Has a three-peat ever been done?
No. Germany won 2 World Cups, the women's team, in a row. Now the USA did it twice, and they're trying to do it a third time. So if they get out of this first stage, Dan, then they could still be on their way to three-peating.
You said a three-peat has never been done before, right?
In the Women's World Cup, no.
Wow, that's they'd make history then if they did that.
Yeah.
I have been your host, Daniel Wachowski, and thank you for listening to WGXC. Thank you, and have a good day.
This is Iru Ekwenobi for the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive. The phrase, focus on yourself, begins almost every refrain of Nairobi-based Nabalayo's poem and public service announcement. Never addressed to any particular listener, or maybe addressed to all who need to hear it, the transmission is intended to address the undeniable link of misogyny and colonialism within the Kenyan context. Focus on yourself and question your thirst for blood. Is it symbolic revenge for what they did to you? To us? Nabalayo asks. This is Focus on Yourself.
Focus on yourself and leave me alone. Focus on yourself and understand the source of your problems. Focus on yourself and where you came from. Remember your foremothers were equal to your forefathers when we were free. We all lived in harmony. Didn't you know? Misogyny was an import, much like the flowers and the coffee. Focus on yourself and look beyond the lies.
The lies.
And the thoughts they made you think were yours.
They're not yours.
Focus on yourself and question your thirst for blood. Is it symbolic revenge for what they did to you? To us? Focus on yourself and ask yourself those difficult questions. Focus on yourself and yourself alone. Focus on yourself and leave women alone. They brought coffee, flowers, and misogyny.
It's kind of funny.
Can you see what you're doing is exactly what they did to us? Can you see what you're doing is exactly what they did to us? Keeping the spirit of war crimes and genocide alive. You're keeping it alive with the femicide. You're keeping the spirit of war crimes and genocide alive. You're keeping it alive with the femicide. The teachers of misogyny are now freeing their women. But you wanna stay behind and pretend this shit is African. You're keeping the spirit of war crimes and genocide alive. You're keeping it alive with the femicide. You're keeping the spirit of war crimes and genocide alive. You're keeping it alive with the femicide.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Over the last several years, we've seen our democracy put to the test. From the 2020 election to the violent assault on the nation's capital, protecting our democracy is critical to safeguard our government from both foreign and domestic bad actors.
California Representative Adam Schiff announced the reintroduction of the Protecting Our Democracy Act, which has support from more than 100 House Democrats. The bill was originally introduced in 2021. It prohibits presidential self-pardons, increases whistleblower protections, and requires federal campaigns to report foreign contacts. This comes as more than half of adults feel American democracy isn't working well, with only 9% thinking otherwise, according to an Associated Press NORC poll. Meanwhile, people who are both for and against gender-affirming care for minors testified before the House Subcommittee on Constitution and Limited Government. Numerous states implemented bans on such care, although some have been blocked in the courts. Chloe Cole is an activist against gender-affirming care for minors who describes herself as a formerly trans kid, having transitioned from female to male at age 12. She later discontinued this care at age 17 and describes her experience after undergoing a mastectomy at 15.
There was nothing wrong with my still-developing body or my breasts. Other than that, as an insecure teenage girl, I felt awkward about it. After my breasts were taken away from me, the tissue was incinerated. Before I was able to legally drive, I had a huge part of my future womanhood taken from me. I will never be able to breastfeed. I struggle to look at myself in the mirror at times.
As the 2024 election nears, betting on congressional races is being debated, and one group is worried. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission has been asked by trading platform Kalshi to allow these bets via event contracts. This limits betting on which party controls Congress in future elections. In 2022, Kalshi sought CFTC approval for bets to be placed on the midterms, but withdrew the proposal after staff concerns. But Stephen Spaulding with Common Cause says big spenders could sway the process in massive ways.
You can imagine a situation where a entity that is now able to spend money on elections post-Citizens United then places an enormous wager on the outcome of an election and also funnels resources through super PACs or other dark money vehicles to influence the outcome of an election.
With temperatures reaching extreme highs across the country this week, elected officials have been taking strides to help people deal with this extreme heat. Scientists have found this July is likely to be the hottest month on record. A Duke University study finds excessive heat has caused as many as 12,000 deaths per year. President Joe Biden describes what's being done at the federal level to help workers beat the heat.
I've asked Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu to issue a heat hazard alert. It clarifies that workers have federal heat-related protections. We should be protecting workers from hazardous conditions, and we will.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Today we're in Georgia, where almost 200,000 people who haven't moved, aren't felons, and whose voter eligibility hasn't changed may lose their voter registration prior to the 2024 presidential election. The reason? They haven't recently voted. Removing voters who have moved or died is a routine election office function, but under Georgia's Use It or Lose It law, the state also takes steps when a voter hasn't updated a registration, voted, signed a petition, or responded to a mailing in 5 years. Around the U.S., 20 states have such rules, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, varying from cancellation after 8 years of inactivity to Wyoming, which immediately cancels your voter registration if you don't vote in a general election. In 2017, then-Secretary of State Brian Kemp purged 560,000 inactive Georgia voters in one day. Another 287,000 were removed in 2019. Analysis by American Public Media and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution later found that 56,000 re-registered for the 2018 election, but an estimated 107,000 would have otherwise been eligible to vote. The timing of notifications and purges in Georgia is one factor which morphs routine list maintenance into voter suppression. We'll have more on this in our next report. We have tools to check your voter registration status at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Stay tuned to WGXC tonight, Friday, July 28th, for a live show from 8 to 10 p.m. from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There are two different performances. Bobby Previtt and Knox Chandler will play together, and also duo of Ben Vita and Leah Bertucci. They'll be in an artist talk moderated by Rick Royer. So tune in from 8 to 10 on WGXC live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on 90.7 FM.
You see, we believe, well, let me put it like this.
There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed, but I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic, and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Let the heathen spill theirs on the dusty ground. God shall make them pay for each sperm.
Spill theirs just anywhere, but God loves those who treat their semen with more care.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm.
Every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is good.
Every sperm is needed
in your neighborhood.
Every sperm is useful. Every sperm is fine.
God needs everybody's.
Mine.
And mine.
And mine.
Strike them down for each sperm that's built in vain.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is good. Every sperm is needed in your neighborhood.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
Every sperm is.
Back in the world, yeah. Baby just wants to go back in the world.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We are joined by Angela Casutero Vilche, who is the Manager of Organizing and Strategy in the Capital Region for the New York Immigration Coalition. Like many groups, they were not particularly happy when both Schenectady County and town of Rotterdam this week passed resolutions to block any more migrants being shipped up from New York City to stay within the local community. So Angela, what are some of the concerns that the Immigration Coalition has with respect to what Schenectady County and Rotterdam are doing?
So a lot of our concerns are regarding what we have seen on the ground with the asylum seekers that have arrived in Albany County, in Buffalo, as well as Newburgh, and some parts of Long Island. So essentially what we are seeing is that folks are coming up to upstate from the city, and a lot of times have no clue where they're going. A lot of times are not sure when their court dates are, or they have, you know, present court dates in New York City that they need to be back in the city for. And so it's harder to get folks to those appointments, apart from just, you know, the community reaction, as we've seen in Rotterdam. Right. The community reaction is going to be a determinant on how that county will deal with the asylum seekers. And as we've seen in Schenectady County, it hasn't been a good response.
Now, some of this was touched off by within the last week, I guess 150 asylum seekers, primarily children, ended up at the Super 8 motel in Rotterdam. It was, you know, media coverage. Oh, they displaced a lot of the existing residents, many of whom were low income. But there's also been media coverage that, you know, many of these asylum seekers were, you know, fleeing gangs and kidnapping and violence and sexual assault. You know, what are some of the, you know, the misinformation that needs to be corrected about this situation?
A big piece of misinformation that we saw when folks arrived in Rotterdam had to do with the framing of why they were coming and how they were coming to upstate, particularly the capital region. A lot of media outlets, you know, made sure to focus on the fact that they were kicking people out of hotels in order to house asylum seekers in these areas. And, you know, that can be true, but I think the framing, right, needs to be altered a little bit. A lot of the folks that are coming, right, they don't necessarily know where they're going, and so they don't know that they're going to hotels where they're kicking people out. A lot of the media sources also said that they had just kicked them out. There was no follow-up, when we know that the city was also funding a place to stay for those folks that wouldn't be staying in Rotterdam. So they did have somewhere to sleep that night, and I think that was something that was missed. And, you know, as always, right, the fear that the words asylum seekers bring to different counties has been really interesting to watch play here in the capital region. I think there's been a lot of fear over, you know, folks coming up here from the city, especially the amount of folks that are coming. And so a lot of this misinformation falls on, you know, their work authorizations and what that looks like, right? Them taking resources from the counties and from the cities and from the towns where they're staying. And we know that all of that isn't true, considering that New York City is, you know, picking up a pretty hefty invoice for all of this movement that is going on around the state.
So what can happen now, particularly with Schenectady or Rotterdam, and how in general is the situation going?
So we are trying to work with folks in Schenectady County to make sure that they have access to folks to be able to bring them the services that are very much needed amongst that population. Here in Albany, we had already a system set up because we've been receiving asylum seekers since Memorial Day weekend in May. So we've already done a lot of that organizing, that planning, and that system that we have here, we've just been trying to really translate it to Schenectady County to make sure that not only is it a smooth transition for asylum seekers, but so that they're also connected to the organizations and groups that do the work that they need, whether it's, you know, legal aid, whether it's medical attention, whether it's trying to figure out where their application is within asylum. So really, these last couple of days, we've seen a lot of movement amongst community-based organizations in Schenectady County, really organizing and making sure that they're able to provide these services to folks. This includes everything from folks who do work with refugees and asylum seekers to interfaith groups to food pantries. So really what we're seeing is that Schenectady County is organizing with the groups that are already there, that know the community, that know the people that live there, and they're able to provide those services to the asylum seekers.
Now, you know, Albany County has been a little bit more progressive, but the town of Colony, which is much more Republican dominated, I noticed actually submitted a code violation to one of the hotels that have accepted some of the asylum seekers, and their argument is that apparently there's a legal limit as to how long somebody can stay at a particular hotel in a town of Colony. So they're trying to enforce that. Or, you know, are some of the groups, you know, locally, I don't know, like the Civil Liberties Union, trying to help out with legal representation of some of these little skirmishes?
The legal representation is a little difficult to get, particularly when we have about 700 people, above 700 people here in Albany County. When we did, you know, have folks arrive in Colony, that was a major concern about how the community and the town supervisor would welcome these folks. As you just mentioned, right, they have a law where folks cannot stay in a hotel for more than 28 days. And we knew that we were running alongside the clock to make sure that, you know, we could get them somewhere to stay by the time that the 20 days were up. We've been really lucky in Albany County to have the support of Mayor Kathy Sheehan. She's been really wonderful in this whole situation with making sure that folks have a place to stay, making sure that the county and as well as the city are, you know, sending correct messaging, correct information, and, you know, welcoming folks as they're coming up from the city. So that's really, you know, what we've seen in Colony. We've still got some folks that are at the Sure Stay, which is the hotel that you're speaking about in Colony. However, we've been working to move them elsewhere so that they don't reach that 28-day limit.
So if people want to help, you know, support the migrants or follow this issue, do you have a website? Or how can people most get involved one way or the other on this issue?
Sure. If people do want to get involved, really the easiest way is to connect to a community-based organization that is doing this asylum work, both in Schenectady County and Albany County. And particularly if there is any interest in helping the folks that are arriving in Albany County, we have the biggest system set up here in the Capital Region for asylum seekers that are being bused up from New York City. Then they can just... folks, if they do want to get involved, they can reach out to their local organizations that are doing this asylum work and really figure out with them what their next steps are, right? We want to make sure that the response is goes along with what the community values and how the community moves. That might be different from Schenectady County to Albany County. So we're just, the best way to really get people involved, if you want to get involved, is to reach out to your organizations.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Angela Castrillo-Vilche of the New York Immigration Coalition, and this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Thank you.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Diane Valden reports in the Columbia paper that Hecate Energy submitted its third response to the New York State Office of Renewable Energy sitting's third notice that its application for the Shepherd's Run solar project in Copeg was incomplete. Hecate Energy, a Chicago-based energy company, wants to build a 60-megawatt solar facility east of the Taconic Hills School District and north of Copeg Lake in Caryville. The proposal would include 200,000 solar panels on about 228 acres of an 800-acre property. The proposal has much community opposition, with some lamenting lost property values. Copeg zoning law would not allow the project, but the state is now bypassing some local regulations to get more renewable energy projects approved. Hecate filed its latest round of materials with the state on June 27th, and 60 days from then, the state must determine if the application is now complete. Copeg Deputy Supervisor Richard Wolf said town officials recently met with State Senator Michelle Henchy about the solar project. Wolf said, and I quote, "We discussed our concerns about the proposal size and location of Shepherd's Run and then toured the site with Senator Henchy and her staff. Altogether, we met for more than an hour. When we finished, Senator Henchy expressed her view that the location was all wrong, noting in particular her concern for the loss of prime farmland. I have forwarded to her information from Hecate's most recent submission. More than 81% of the to-be-disturbed land is designated as prime farmland," end quote. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. David Robinson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that health insurance providers in New York want to increase rates by 20.9% next year for individuals and 15.3% for small group plans. They blame rising prices for health care and drugs and government taxes on insurance for the proposed increase. New York's Department of Financial Services, which regulates insurers, is looking at the rate proposals and will finalize the 2024 rates in August. In the past years, the state agency often reduces the rate increases by insurers. Last year, insurers requested 18.7% and 16.5% increases, but regulators approved average rate increases of just 9.7% for individuals and 7.9% for small group plans. The average rates for individual health care plans have gone up 31.4% since 2019, with an average yearly increase of about 6%. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Mid-Hudson News reports that New York's Department of Environmental Conservation and Open Space Institute announced on July 26 the acquisition of 261 acres adjacent to the Catskill Forest Preserve's Sundown Wild Forest. Property along the east side of South Mountain in the town of Olive was purchased by the Open Space Institute with a $665,500 grant from the state's Environmental Protection Fund. The Open Space Institute initially bought the property in 2019 from Dr. Sam and Delia Adams, whose family owned the land since the Hardenberg patent of the 1700s. The Sundown Wild Forest covers 30,100 acres and includes 10 mountains over 2,000 feet tall. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Here's your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny and hot with the temperature high near 92 degrees and heat index values as high as 97 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers mainly after 5 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 71 degrees. And on Saturday, A chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 8 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 86 degrees. And on Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
That was 2022 new music from Lucretia Dalt. The song was called Mariterna, and it's from the Baby soundtrack. That's a HBO Max TV show with Lucretia Dalt there with the music on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.